Last minute Erev Shabbos, because going back to what we were talking about is, you know, this woman who's drunk in the Mishnah, and they're plying her with alcohol, as unfortunately happens today and happened back then, right? This is really an Ein Chadash Tachas HaShamish kind of a situation, and she doesn't want any alcohol, not this alcohol, not the next thing that they're going to give her. They're plying her with this alcohol, and so she says Nizira, but she really means that she doesn't want what they're bringing in front of her, so we take that into account. Now, Elisheva asked, given the fact that she's drunk, which is, you know, true, right? That's what the Mishnah says. So how is it possible that her neder, even if we don't take it as Naziris, even if we just say it's a plain old neder, so to speak, how is that effective? Anybody want to guess? As I said, that's a really good question. We'll start there. On Sunday. Anybody have any ideas about that? It's really a good question.
I know that like you can't behave in that situation, but maybe there's something about the nature of your ratzon that comes out when you're drunk that is the real core of what you really mean.
So Yitzchak is a very interesting suggestion. I was just thinking about it. Yitzchak was saying is that maybe, even though we say b'nedarim, you know, holchan achar lashon b'nei adam, is that we generally, you know, try to understand the vernacular, the local vernacular, local dialect. Maybe there's another principle at play here, is that we're somehow willing to read into intent. Like you couldn't daven in that situation, you couldn't give eidos in that situation, but when it comes to nedarim, we're willing to sort of try to fill in the blanks a little bit in terms of what a person's intent is. It's interesting, because going back to the Eidos comparison, right, we have seen that a lot in terms of nedarim compared to Eidos, right? Neder shoter miktsasar hoter kula, Eidos shabatla miktsasar batla kula. So that's an interesting suggestion. Anybody else? That was a really interesting question. Maybe it shouldn't count for anything. So I'll tell you what the Rambam says about it. So the Rambam says that it has to be dealing with a case where she's not at what we call, this is a very important standard in halacha, at shichrusa shalot, the drunkenness of lot. Obviously the drunkenness of lot sort of stands as an avatar of like, you know, extreme drunkenness. Sometimes we call it shichrusa shalot, shichrusa shal noach. Right, where he, you know, he could be with his own daughters, with some level of, you know, he knew, he wasn't exactly sure, but whatever it was, you know, he was clearly incapacitated. So the Rambam says we have to read into this situation a certain degree of lucidity, otherwise the neder really wouldn't be a neder. You know, so she has to be, let's call it, drunk, but not... Right. Exactly. So it is a very important question, and I want to, you know, highlight this for everybody's attention, especially with Purim coming up, and these are issues that are worth discussing in general, but the different gradations of drunkenness in halacha. Somebody who's not drunk at all but has wine is called a shasoi. Shasoi is a category in its own right. We don't consider that to be necessarily an optimal way for a person to daven or to bench, but then there's a shikar, a person who's actually drunk. Then there's shichrus o shalot, right? So this situation that we're talking about, you know, when there's a acha shahaisa shikora, she was certainly drunk. This isn't just a shesuya, she's a shikora, but it's not to that point. So I think that these are really interesting, really important issues. Elisheva, I think, advanced the discussion by getting us to think a little bit more deeply about the different gradations of drunkenness that are, you know, that are at play. All of them should be avoided, but that the outer boundaries of neder, you know, go into the world of shichras, okay? And that is very, very, very important. And that is well beyond, by the way, what we would accept halachically for purposes of tefillah. Okay, so we were towards the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and the discussion was that shlichos is defined by the moment of agency, okay? So we're going to start six lines down, Tashma. and we're going to have a machlokes hatanaim with a lot of focus on the sheet of Rabbi Yoshia, just a moment, which tries to figure out exactly this issue of shlichus being defined by the moment of agency inception. Remember, the point that we were worried about was, is if you send a shliach to be mekadesh woman, we have a chazaka that a shliach is osa shlichuso, that he does his job, he carries out the task that was given to him, and then you couldn't marry anybody else, lest it be the woman's mother, or daughter, or grandmother, or granddaughter, or sister, and the like. And we said, well, there's one situation, if she literally has no relatives, then you could go ahead and marry somebody else. And we say, and even if she has a sister, but the sister was married at the time, even if it's possible that the sister could be divorced now, and you obviously can't be married, you know, to, you know, two living sisters at the same time, you can marry a sister after the death of the previous sister, we're not worried about that, because shlichus is defined by the moment of agency, and if she was not on the table, so to speak, not in the market at that moment, we don't have to worry about that possibility. So Tashma, Omer Lapatropis, legal guardian, Shelo Kol Nedarim, Shatido Ishtim, Mikanda, Cha'avo, Mimakomponi, Haferla, Vehaferla, Yachol Yumufar, and Tamilomar, Isha Yikimenu, Veisha Yeferenu. This was a big topic for us in the Darim of Hafara Sabal, not being subject to Shlichos, Divrei Rabbi Yoshe, Rabbi Yoshe and Omer, Matzino B'chol Makom, Sheshluchos Shel Adam Kamosa. We understand that Shlichos, that agency is a very important part of the Torah's structure. Okay? So time of the Rachmana Isha Yikimenu Veisha Yeferenu. But here it seems like we have an exception to that ruling, that it has to be the husband who either validates her neder or cancels her neder. Halav Hachiapatrapus Mayfair, if it wasn't for this Gzerah Sakas, if it wasn't for this anomaly, which again we see as deeply, deeply reflective of the nature of Hafara Sabal, then it's an expression of that relationship, right? Remember, Tim was talking about this a lot at the time, right? That just because you can have an agent doesn't mean that person becomes you in halacha. Okay, so we have this exception of Ishaya Kimenu, Ishaya Feirenu. Halav hachi apatrapas mefer v'ilu gabe didei tanya omer lishto kol nedarim shetar mikan v'ad shavav v'akimploni yukayamin lo amar klum harein mufarin Rav Elazar omer mufar v'chachamim omer meno mufar. He says, but I don't understand. There seems to be a more basic problem here. It's not just the problem of shlichus, but the husband, according to the majority position, Rav Elazar is a dissenter on this, but according to the majority position, the husband wouldn't be able to do anything about it anyway. So there's a more basic problem which is at stake, which is not a question of, oh, you know, he could have done it himself, but his shliach can't do it. He can't do it himself, right? That's what the Chachamim are saying, in a mufar. The Gemara responds, maybe he was following the minority view of Rabbi Elazar, the Amr Matzi Mefer. Again, Rabbi Elazar is saying is that the husband can negate nedarim under these circumstances. Ihachi, the Gemara says, Lamali Shavui Shaliach. So then why in the world would he want a Shaliach? Lefer La'iu. So let him do it himself. Kasavar Dilma Mishtalino Ratchana O Mitridna. So a very reasonable answer, and we saw parallel ideas in the nedarim itself, that he's afraid that even though he could really take care of this himself before he goes, the reason he wants a Shaliach to do it is that he says, I'm going to be traveling. You know, I get, there's some people, and you see it to this day, there's some people who, when they travel, become very stressed. Even if they're calm people in general, all of a sudden they start traveling and they get all worked up. Like, you know, I mean, it's part of their, I don't even like mean that they're traveling, you know, to Australia. They're just traveling to, like with all the other Jews, to Florida, you know, and they just get very worked up when they travel. So the guy says, I'm going to be distracted, I'm going to be irritable, I'm going to be in an agitated state, I'm not going to be able to think straight because I'm going to be getting ready to go on this business trip. So better to have my apotropos worry about my wife's, about my wife's daughter. When I was a kid, my brother and I used to, and this is what, you know, kids do in the airport, especially if you have a sibling. We used to sort of like, you know, have fun, you know, watching all these people getting so worked up about travel. You know, it's like, you know, in the airport, these people flipping out, you know. And this is before the days when everybody had to take off their shoes and their belts. This was a great sport of ours, you know, back in the later years of the 20th century, is enjoying the the stress, you know, because when you're a kid, your parents, you know, they've got everything settled. So we're just, you know, moseying on through the airport, watching people, you know, in these hostile encounters with travel agents and, you know, the God help those people who work for the airlines behind the counter, and people are like, you know, treating them as if they're about to perform a surgery without anesthetics. It's a very interesting sociological, you know, thing. If you ever start paying attention in an airport, and again, the you know, the post 9/11 things only made it worse. So now everybody is on edge, and maybe for better reasons. But this was in the. This was in the Pax Americana days. So in any event, that's a halakhic reality. We didn't know this Gemara at the time, but the Gemara is saying exactly that, that some people today just can't handle traveling. So even if he theoretically could do it himself, he wouldn't have the presence of mind, the mind space, the emotional bandwidth to be able to focus on his wife's nadar. So the Mishnah says, Harei alai, pay careful to the language, the galea chatzi nazir, so he accepts. And the zeros, where he's going to bring like half of the korban, v'shama chavera v'amar v'ani alai v'galeach hatzin nazir zeh migaleach nazir shalim v'zeh migaleach nazir shalim divrei Rav Meir v'chamimom v'zeh migaleach hatzin nazir v'zeh migaleach hatzin nazir. Right? So Rav Meir seems to be saying ein nazirus l'chatzan, you can't become half pregnant, you can't become half a nazir, you can't bring half of the korbanos, but the chachamim are willing to live with the arrangements. Amar Rava kolmodim kolheichad amar chatzin korbanos nazir alai. Chatzi korban ma'isi, even Reb Meir will be moda. Korbanos chatzi nazir alai, kulei korban ba'isui. Everybody will agree that he has to bring the full korban. So my time with the ha, v'ashkach nazirus l'palka. Okay, so in this situation, obviously the machlokas Reb Meir l'chachamim is nazirus l'chatzan. V'chi pligi v'lishin l'mastisin pligi. Reb Meir saver kemen damar harei alai, ichaye v'kulei korban nazirus, v'chacham chatzi nazirus lav kol kaminei, Rabban and Savri, Nader Upatach Imohu. As we say, this is a Neder, and the Pesach is right next to it. So, and the idea is, you know, we have to focus in very carefully on the language to figure out whether this is a situation of, you know, Chatzi Nizirus, and whether that's Chat. Okay. So remember, Reb Meir is always the one of Einat Amotzi Davar Levatala. A person says the Hort and the Who principle. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, if you know the reference. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Hareini Nazir, Lichshieli Ben, Vinola Lo Ben, Hareza Nazir. A person stipulates, and again, the Rambam's not a big fan of these things, but the person went ahead and did it anyway, that if I have a son, and I send a male child, okay, that's going to be the important thing here, that I'll become a Nazir. So we say that he's a Nazir. Nola Lo Bas, if he has a daughter, right, Tum Tum, or a child of indeterminate gender, of androgynous, or of. And androgynous has simanim lechan and lechan, has indications in both directions. Eino nazir, so that's not a male. Im amr kshieli vlad, if he says I have a child, if he would know the lobas comes to the androgynous, hareza nazir, because he has a child. He pila ishto, if his wife miscarried, eino nazir, im shimon omer yomar, im haya ben kayama, and if he had said that to have a viable child, hareni nazir, chova. Right, so it would be like a conditional nazirus. Chazra v'yalda. Then let's say she had a viable child. Hareza nazir. So right now the condition would be fulfilled according to all views. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yomar Marishon Ben Kayama Harishon Chova v'zon nedava v'imlav Harishon nedava v'zol chova. So Rabbi Shimon says he has to do some fancy footwork here because according to him he's in this conditional state. So now that there's a viable child, he has to say. If the first one was a real Nazirus, let it be a real Nazirus, and if not, let this one be the real Nazirus. Okay, so the Gemara says, Hi, my name is, it's like this is a very obvious thing. If the guy said it has to be a male child, it has to be a male child. Like, well, what exactly are we contributing to the discussion? Mishum Seifa, Bastumtum Androgynous in a Nazir Pshita, like so totally obvious. Ma'u Desema, Lichshe Banahu de Ka'amar, Kamash Malam Delo. So sometimes people would say, when I have a son, and maybe they're using that language because, you know, like people think in terms of having male children. But really, it just meant in terms of having a child. This is Yitzchak, maybe getting back a little bit to your point, and that we talked about in terms of inebriation, and maybe we're willing to sort of read into the person's mind a little bit, and maybe this isn't the most, consonant with our sensibilities today, where we rightly, you know, celebrate, thank God, all children. But there was a time where people, I'm not saying that this is halachically rooted, I'm just saying that there are people, you know, in terms of what they meant, and that matters a lot for purposes of the Darim, as we've discussed many times, where a person would say, when I have a son, but what they really mean is, you know, when we'll have children. But they thought in terms of having a son, they talked about, there are many cultures that are that way, today. I'm not going to mention them, you know, from people will take it critically, but that they'll speak in terms of having, you know, a son, you know, carry on the family name. But really what they meant was, I'll be a Nazir out of gratitude, let's say, you know, when God will give me a child. So that's what the person meant. So Kamashmalan, the person really meant a son. You know, that there wasn't that degree of flexibility. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'mamrek Shiali Vlad, so Pshita, obviously, if you just, you know, form it in a non-specific way, Ma'av the same of Vlad, the Mikhshav Beni Inchi Bayinun Kamashmalan. Again, you might have thought that it's a kind of offspring that will, you know, have status in society the way that men one time had greater status than women in society. Men could be landowners, you know, men could, you know, have positions of leadership and the like. So maybe that's what the person meant, Kamash Malan. So Pili Ishto Eino Nazir, so again, the situation, according to the Chachamim, where it's not a viable child, so there's no Nazir. So Manikton Le Rabbi Yehuda Dechrihu. So this is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, where we saw before, in terms of whether the Kriya was machzik a certain amount or not. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda, again, we can be machmir in the world of Nazirus. This is the whole discussion that we had about Safek Abba. We can be machmir in the world of Nazirus when we know a guy is a Nazir altogether. But if we don't even know that the Nazirus was chal, remember it was Rabbi Yehuda's shita to say that we'll have to be makil in such a case. First, you have to cross that threshold here, right? There was a pregnancy and there was, a delivery of the pregnancy, but the pregnancy did not lead to a viable child. And since the pregnancy didn't lead to a viable child, the condition, halachically speaking, is considered unfulfilled. And as such, there's no chalos of nazirus. Okay. So, Rabbi Shimon Omer Yomar, Imhaya ben Kayamar, Ini Nazir Chobam, Imlav, Ini Nazir Nidama. Very complex sheet of Rabbi Shimon, the Das Yachid, that you go into a conditional state. So, Bamine Rabbi Abam, Rabbi Huna, Harini Nazir, the Chshili Ben, Vipili Ishto, Vihifrish Karban, he separated the Karban, Vichazar Vialda, Mahu, Aliba Deman, Yaliba de Rabbi Shimon, Mai Sibaile. According to Rabbi Shimon, he's very clear. Ham Rabbi Shimon, Savag Nazir is the Hachmir, right? So, Rabbi Shimon would say that you have to be Machmir in that situation, even, you know, of the Vlad, Shainu Shal Kayama, Vel Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Savag Nazir is the Hakil. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said there's no Nazirus in that situation altogether, what do we do with this Karban? So my kadosh or lo kadosh? Do we say that this group of animals that had been designated for its carbon naziros is consecrated? So my nafka mina legizaso lavudbo, right? For purposes of working with animals, you can't take animals that are hektish and start shearing them, you know, making cashmere sweaters, or taking animals which are hektish and start using them for secular purposes. So take what the Gemara says. You know, we're not entirely sure how to resolve that issue. So bayim ben ruchumim me'abaye eri nazir l'chsheli ben. V'shama chaveiro, and his friend heard, v'amar, v'aloi, and on me. So ma'u, adibure mashma, or agufe mashma. So he's saying, is he basically saying, oh yeah, when my buddy has a friend, you know, I'll become a Nazir also. He's my best buddy, you know, he was the best man at my wedding. Yeah, he, you know, Tommy has a kid, I'll be a Nazir too. Or does he mean, no, oh, I like that idea. When I have a kid, I'll be a Nazir, okay? So it's hard to figure out. Same time, similar. Agufi mashma amar in nazir l'chsheli ben v'shama chaver v'amar now v'ani. Okay, not v'alai, but v'ani. Mahu anav shekamar dil mahachi kamar rachim nala kavaseich. You know, I love you like myself. After the reilcha kamocher. Same time, tolomar kol ba'anpe. Right, that if he's in the presence of the person, top line of yid gimel and beis. Let's give everybody a chance for a second. Psifale milsa. Right, so he's referring to himself because, you know, if it's in the presence of the other guy, what he means to say is, like, he doesn't want to be outdone. His buddy said, you know, like, you know, if I should be blessed with a child, you know, I'll become a Nazir. And this guy is thinking to himself, oh, I don't want to be a Nazir, but, you know, at the same time, I don't want to seem less, you know, excited about the possibility of having, maybe his wife is standing right there, so she starts elbowing him a little bit, you know. It's like, you know, where are you on this one, right? So he'd be a little embarrassed. So he would mean it for himself, okay? So Ksiva Le Mil says, "Amar Haredi Lazik Shal Pony Ben," right? V'shama Chaver V'Amar V'Ani Mahu Mi'Amrina Shalom B'Fanav Anav Sheka Amar Odilma Hachi Kamer LaRachim Nalei Kavaseich Tiboy. The Gemara says that that's, you know, those are the fair questions. It's hard, a little hard to know in these situations what the person was really committing himself to or not. So the Mishnah says, "Already Nazir, behold, I will be a Nazir." V'Nazir k'sheli ben, sounds like a double situation. Hischa mona shalov ve'acharkach nolad lo ben. Mashem shalov ve'acharkach mona shal beno. So he has a double nazirus. One of them was non-conditional, hareni nazir, and then he has a second nazirus to fulfill once he actually has a son. Okay, so that's straightforward enough. Hareni nazir chsheli ben, okay, vin nazir, hischel moneh shalo, v'achrino ben, maniach shalo, moneh shal beno, because that was a sequence that he took it, v'achar kach mashlim shalo. It was a really interesting idea that a person took a conditional nazirus, and then a full Nazirus. Now, the conditional Nazirus can't start yet, so he went to the second one. But then he has a child, so we say, now we go back to your Hafla, to the order in which you took the Nadarim, which is a very fascinating point, right? So he said, we'll go back to that. You'll do that one, and then you'll resume the one that you started. So we don't say, like, Kol HaMaschal B'mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemor. We're more into actually operating in the sequence of your Nazirus. Yeah?
So he would actually interrupt
the... Right, that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying... is that really, when it comes to the world of Nadarim, right, what we're most concerned about is people fulfilling their Nadarim. So you have to go in order, even though it's counterintuitive. Normally in mitzvos, once a person is osek, we say, you know, finish what you started. So this is apparently an exception to that rule.
Nothing preparatory has to do at that point, except the mental state. The end will come earlier, and then you'll have to...
Yeah, but your point is still well taken. You're picking up on the fact that this is counterintuitive. Like, why would you interrupt? Remember, at the time that you took the neder, you weren't in a position to fulfill the first nazirus.
Right. Oh, even so, right. So if it's not valid, you really shouldn't.
Right. So it's a very, very important, you know, issue. So the Gemara picks up on that. So the Gemara says, "Vayirava mahareni nazir la'achar asrim yom." So the guy says, "In 20 days, I'm going to be a nazir." Now, what's going on in these 20 days? Who knows? You know. But he says, 20 days from now, I'm going to start my Nazirus. Okay, you could do that. Umeachshav. And then, I also want to start a period of Nazirus right now, Meayom, of 100 days. So this guy is all over the map, right? He says, in 20 days, I'm going to be a Nazir, but I'm going to start a period of 100 days of Nazirus today. So we definitely have to get this guy into Nazirus counseling, for sure. Because, you know, he doesn't know what he wants. But in 20 days, he's going to start a Nazirus, and he's going to start a Nazirus now, and then we're left to pick up the pieces. All right. That's what we're here for, okay, on a Sunday morning, you know. Other people are sleeping in, you know, but we've got to deal with the hard things in life, and this guy is making a very complicated, nazir. So how are we going to handle this? So, ma'u kevan, dehalin mea be'esrim lo shlemin lo chaylin. So maybe just ignore it altogether, right, because this guy is saying things that don't really make sense. Right, 20 days from now, I'm going to start my nazirus, and then I'm going to be a nazir, you know, for 100 days starting now. Well, that obviously interferes with the 20 days. Okay, so kevin dehalin mea be'esrim lo shlemin lo chaylin. And maybe we'll just like, disregard it altogether. Odoma kevin de'isle gidol seir levasov chaylin. So maybe we'll say, look, you know, here's the situation. You start the Nazirus now with respect to the 100 days. You stop after 20 days, and you do 30 days of Nazirus for that Nazirus. Okay, so now you're 50 days in, so to speak, and you should have at least another 50 days, you know, of Nazirus, right? And that's enough time, right? Because the Stam Nazirus period is 30 days. The Gemara is saying, Gidol Seyar Levasov Chaylin. There's at least another 30 days. Really, there's 50 days. Rashi points out, in a certain sense, there are 80 days, because what you should really have to do is count to day 130, because, you know, the rest of your Nazirus, the 80 days that's the differential, can only really start at day 50. Okay, very good. V'sibayile Nazirus Mu'etes. So the Gemara says, but we have a more important question. What if the Nazirus was Mu'etes? What if there wouldn't be, you know, more than 30 days left over in the end? So Chadim Yochadu Kadim Ba'ile. The Gemara says, you know, really, you know, asking one agav the other. So we'll just go a few lines on the top of Yudalatim and Aleph. Im Tim Tulem Nazirus Mu'etes. Kevan De'asara Yomin Hu De'asrin Lo Salak Le'halin Asara Vadi Nazir Me'ayom Kevan De'islai Timnin Yomin Le'vasov Salkin Le'i Olo. Okay. So the Gemara is saying is that, like, we would start with the question of what we call the Nazirus Muetes, where the remainder would say, let's say it was a situation where a guy didn't say Me'ayom, it was just a regular case of Nazirus of Shloshim Yom. So I'm going to be a Nazir starting 20 days from now. And then he says, and I'm going to be a Nazir starting now. So what would happen? You'd observe 20 days, right? And then you would interrupt that, so to speak, observe the 30 days of non-conditional Nazirus, and then what would the differential be on the back end? 10 days. You have 10 days of Nazirus left to observe. But 10 days isn't enough of a time to allow your hair to regrow after completion of the intermediate Nazirus, right? So, you know, that was really, you know, the more pressing question. And it's that question that we'll get back into, you know, starting tomorrow. Well, we're saying the minimum shear ain't zero is pachos mishloshim yom.
Okay, so the matter here, you would go over 3 days.
Right.
So that's different from
right. So
whatever it has to be
3 days. Right. So that's what the Gemara is saying. So just one more time, this top line you've done enough. Im tipslam nizirus muetes kevan to asara yomin hu diasrin. The differential is only 10 days in this case, right? You don't have 80 days in the back end. The los salik lay, right? You know that these 10 days are, you know, not going to be a sufficient period. Halina asara vade nazir. So meyom kevan to islay timnin yomin lebasof. You have the differential of 80 days. So Salkinle, Olo, is that going to count for him, you know, or not? So that's the question, and we'll get back into that question starting tomorrow.